So we're going to start in the Old Testament this week. Since we've been in the Old Testament, I think that was a pretty good Sunday school lesson. Y'all done really good taking part and studying. That was a really good Sunday school lesson. So we're thankful that we can come together and learn and fellowship with one another. So what we want to talk to, last week we talked about rejoicing in the Lord. Did anybody have you, didn't they? You know, go back and watch if you didn't get to. But we talked a little bit about rejoicing in the Lord. And today we're going to talk a little bit about that glory of God that we rejoice in. So as we look around, even from the beginning of time, all of humanity, it doesn't really matter whether they were saved or unsaved, believers, non-believers, everybody's curious about God's glory. Everybody wants to see miracles. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants that. But where the problem lies is not everyone desires to be a part of that glory of God. So that's where we come in. We have to learn how to show people what it's like being a part of that glory of God. So before we can do that, what does it mean to be a part of or to desire the glory of God? So here's what separates people from wanting to be a part of God's glory, because in order to be a part of it, it means we have to really strive. We have to get past just this superficial understanding, meaning pretending to be. I'll use that. Pretending to be. We have to get past that because we have to be in a willing relationship with God. That's what being part of the glory of God is all about. So in order to be in a willing relationship with God, it takes more than just wisdom and knowledge. But it takes living according to His grace. It takes living according to His mercy. It takes living according to His love. And this all comes when we are driven by the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And it is a faith. It's a recognition of our faith that drives us to want to be part of the glory of God. And of course, this all comes, and here comes the next part, this all comes through the truth of God's Word. We talked about this in Sunday school class this morning. It all comes through the truth of God's Word. So what is the truth of God's Word? Paul said it best when he said, "I preach Christ and Christ crucified." That's the truth of God's Word. That's what it all comes to. That's where it all originates to. So that means that as a believer now, I have to have a strong sincerity. And I use the word strong sincerity because sometimes we act like we're sincere, but we're not really sincere. But I have to have a strong sincerity to understand and know who God is. So how many of us really know who God is? First of all, the sinner can't know who God is because they're not in a relationship with God. A lot of the believers today that are in a relationship with God still don't know who God is because it's not that good of a relationship. Why, when you look in the world around you, people get married all the time. Why do they get divorced? It's because the relationship wasn't very good. And it might have just been because they didn't really know each other beforehand or during. So it all hinges on that relationship. So we're encouraged through the Word of God. So this is why the Word of God is so important. It's what encourages us. If we're not in the Word of God, people around us can encourage us, but it's not the same as getting it yourself through our communication with God, through His Word. So we're encouraged to make this decision, and it has to be a willing decision. It has to be a decision of sincerity to understand what God is all about. But, you know, a lot of times in our life in Christ, you know, God never abandons us. We abandon Him because we stray away from being obedient to the Word of God. So that's where, so God has to somehow show us that we, once again, we have to get back to this place. This place of where we have fallen from grace, we've got to learn to get back into the righteousness of God. So that means that we have to be encouraged every day in our life. We have to be encouraged every day to seek after Him. Seek after Him continually in our life. Now, if you read very much in Psalm, we're going to read a couple out of Psalms today. But in the 105th Psalm, David gives you a lot of this encouragement through the book of Psalm. But in the 105th Psalm, let's go there real quick. And here's what he says in verse 3 and in verse 4. He says, "Glory ye in the name of the Lord. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek it forevermore." So that every day, if you go through one day in your life and you say, oh, when bedtime rolls around, you say, oh, I forgot to seek God today. I'll bet you if you look back upon that day, it wasn't a very good day. It wasn't as good as it could have been. It could have been a lot better. So that means that as believers, seeking God, what does that mean? It means we have to look to God. Now pay attention to this, because we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school class as well this morning. Every aspect of our life, everything. Lord, should I do this? Should I not do this? Well, we automatically think that if it has to do with our family, our kids, our grandkids, or whoever, that the Lord, it's okay. We go do it. That's what the Lord wants me to do. How do you know if you didn't ask? So we have to seek God in every aspect of our life. When we do this, now, a lot of things that you're going to seek Him in, yes, the Lord's going to say, yes, it's okay to do that. But there may be times when He says, no, that's not setting a very good example, or that's not. But this shows our desire. What God wants to see from us is our desire that we're living in this personal relationship with Him. So again, we can go back to your marriage between a husband and a wife. Whenever, if one wanted to do something, you got together and you said, well, I'd like to go do this. Would you like to do that with me? Or vice versa. See, this is what a relationship is all about. In our marriage, it's about making each other the center of everything in our life. In our relationship with God, it's about making Him the center of everything in our life, which we don't always do. So over in the book of James, here's what James tells you. Let's go over there for a minute. In the book of James chapter 4, verse 8. Here's what he says. Draw nigh to God. Listen to this. Pay attention to this. He says, draw nigh to God and He will what? Draw nigh to you. What does that tell you? If I'm not working in this relationship, then what's happening? It's not because God doesn't want to, and it's because God's not going to, but it's because God wants to see us put some effort into this relationship. So he says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. This is a commandment. Okay, a commandment given to us by God. It's a commandment that it's not. You ever get these little things on your phone that says this email, but this email you don't have to respond to? You don't ever get one of them from God. Because when He sends you something, He wants you to respond to it. So this is a commandment from God that requires some kind of reaction on our part, not just ignoring the commandment. So it requires some kind of reaction. So, and this is why He does it, because He wants to see our sincerity, our sincerity of faith. And when He sees that, then He responds to those efforts. He responds to those efforts, He says, by drawing closer unto us, because He sees now that we're making the effort in this relationship. We're putting forth something in this relationship. So we're His presence now. You know, when we start to feel His presence in this relationship, then we want We want more of that in this relationship. But we got to get to that place with this strengthening. We need this strengthening in our relationship with Him. So that means that when we draw near to God, it requires a lot of things on our part. It's not just going to get up one morning and say, okay, today everything I do is going to be for the Lord. You try that tomorrow and tell me how that works out for you. And it's probably not going to, because it requires a lot more than just that. It requires putting away a lot of things of the world, these lustful desires, this worldly pride, and we have to become humble. We have to become this humble servant to God that He wants us to be. So that means that we have to devote ourselves. We have to devote ourselves to seeking after the presence of God. Devote ourselves to seeking after the will of God. So when I get up of a morning, doesn't matter what plans I made the night before, it's, Lord, are these plans still okay with you? Or did I even ask you if these plans were going to be okay with you? Because God has a purpose for our life. And when we begin to devote ourselves to that purpose, then we can see Him begin to work in our life. So we have to make sure that we're not just pursuing God for some kind of worldly want or need. And I can tell you, most of the time when we pursue God, it's because of a want. Something that we want in life that He says you do not need. Any of those needs, he'll make a way for those needs. So this is what happens. When we begin to desire His presence in our life, and then we'll begin to experience what the glory of the Lord is truly all about. We go through a lot of days in our life not getting to experience the glory of the Lord. So let's go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 33. We're going to read a couple verses, and then we'll come back to that chapter here in just a few minutes. But in Exodus chapter 33, starting with verse 12, and this is Moses. Moses is praying to God. If we would follow, and Moses, if we would pray to God more, we wouldn't get into so much. Moses might have spoke to the rock instead of striking it, and But anyhow, it said, Moses said to the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people." Okay, so this is a command that God's given to Moses. He says, "Bring up this people, but thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me." So Moses, in his prayer, he's kind of, Lord, you want me to do this? I asked for help. You ain't giving me no help yet. What do you want me? So he's praying. And here's what he says. He says, "Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name." So God gave Moses encouragement to do this on his own, but he never did. "And thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, then show me now the way." All right? So do we ever stop and ask God to show us the way, or we just automatically think it's going to be there? Lord, here's what I'm going to do today. I know you'll take... How many... We've all said this prayer. Lord, I'm going to go do this today. I know you'll take care of me. And God's sitting up there saying, "Well, you didn't ask me about doing that today. You're just assuming..." Okay, we do that a lot with the Lord. We assume, and this is what Moses, he said, "I know thee by name, and now hast also found grace in thy sight." So he said, "Down there, therefore, I pray, I found grace. Show me now thy way, that I might what? Know thee." Not what you want me to do, but before I go do what you want me to do, I need to know more about you. Because that way I know that when things begin to happen, I know where our relationship... See, Moses didn't always know where his relationship was with God, so Moses got in trouble a lot. We're the same way in our life today. So he said, "That I might find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people." And he said, "My presence," God said, "my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." So what do we want to happen in our life today? We want the presence of God to always be with us. How does that happen in our life? we have to want it to happen. So now we've got to separate. There's a couple of things we have to separate. We got to distinguish between the true faithfulness and just pretending to be faithful. So this is what Moses was doing here. At first it was just pretending to be faithful, but then he got to distinguish the difference between truly being faithful and just pretending to be faithful. So that means that when we begin to seek after the divine wisdom of God, and we begin to request that there'll be an understanding of this divine wisdom in God, then we'll be able to see guidance. That's what we need in our life. We need guidance. How many of you have ever been told you need guidance in your life? You shouldn't be doing that on your own. You need God. So we know this. So this is our responsibility. We have to come and we have to ask for this understanding, and this understanding will help us to fall into the glory of God, so that we'll always be doing things according to God's glory. So that means we pray. We're like Moses. We have to pray that we might move beyond, away from these false pretenses or these false appearances if I do this, people will really think I'm this good Christian person. How many, have you ever said that before? Well, if I pray longer, if I pray better, if I memorize this one verse and I shout it out sometimes. See, we have to get beyond that. That's not what God's all about. If we're going to have this close relationship with God, it can't be by our own efforts. It has to be according to God's righteousness. We have to align our life with God's will. That's what we have to do in our life. So then we'll start discovering this loving relationship. And not just that, but it'll be a deeper loving relationship than we experienced yesterday. Every day in our life should be a new experience with God. So how many of us just are experiencing the same old thing over and over and over again? That's because when we pray, that's usually what it is. It's over and over and over again. But God wants us to experience something new every day, which comes through. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us. He wants us to experience something new every day, but we have to learn to listen to Him. And He does this through conviction. See, the reason we don't listen to Him a lot of times is we don't think we need to be convicted anymore. We think we're saved. We don't need to be convicted anymore. But every day we need this conviction in our life so that we might experience the glory of God in our life. This helps us to become more obedient, okay? Obedient to the truth of God's Word, which motivates us that we might have a better service in glorifying Him. So in 1 Corinthians, let's go there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to read you just a few verses here, starting with verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting with verse 4. The first thing that Paul says here, he says, is I thank God always on what? Your behalf. He didn't say nothing about me. He said, your behalf. I thank God always on your behalf for the grace of God which was given unto you by Christ. So do we always do that? No, not always. We don't always lift up others before ourselves, do we? Because we like to be lifted up. They're not lifting me up, so I'm not going to lift them up. Okay. So we have that attitude. So he said, for the grace of God which is given unto you, so that in everything, everything. So this is the place that we're trying to get to in life. So that in everything, we don't leave nothing out, that in everything we are enriched by Him, meaning through His wisdom, His knowledge, His understanding, so that in all utterance or in all speech and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed unto you, so that you come behind in no gift. So we're not lacking. We're always right where God wants us to be while, now listen to this, while we're waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can't leave that out, because what are we doing here upon this earth? If we understood a lot more about this period of waiting for Christ to come, we would understand a lot more the importance of telling others about Christ. the importance of being a witness of his salvation. We would have a better understanding. We just wouldn't be off running around here and running around there and lacking here and lacking there, but we would be doing everything that we can do to show others what the saving grace of Jesus Christ is all about. Because he said, he's the one that's going to confirm you unto the end. Christ is the only one, okay? You might think you have somebody living with you here upon this earth, somebody that's always beside you here upon the earth, but I can tell you the only one that has been with you and will continue to be with you until the very end is Christ. And he's the one that we neglect the most because we don't study, we don't pray, we don't have this relationship with him that we should have. But he said, he's the one that will be with you unto the end, that ye might be blameless in the day of the Lord. And here's the next thing that he said, God is faithful. He's the only one that is faithful to you. You might think you have somebody in your life that is faithful to you, only God. He's the only one that is 100% faithful to you, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. What was he faithful about? He was faithful about bringing me into this realm of salvation with him so that we might have this hope of eternal life. So here's a promise. We've talked about commandments. We talked about promise. This is a promise that God has given us that he will always, he is the one that will always have constant fellowship with us. That is where our peace of mind comes from. So when we're out here in the world and we're in turmoil and there's no peace of mind, what does that tell us? We're not in constant fellowship with the Lord. Because when we are, we have peace of mind. And he does this because he wants us to know that all of these challenges, all these struggles, all these things that we go through in our life, he wants us to know we are not facing them alone. But let me throw this in there. Unless we have chosen to face them alone. You know, sometimes we do. We choose to stray away from or abandon. So that means we've chosen to face these things in our life. Until we begin to prioritize our life with God. And when we begin to prioritize our life with God, it means we come back to putting him first in our life, in everything that we do. He's the only one that knows yours and mine true purpose on this earth. He's the only one that knows where the way our journey should be going and what we should be doing while we're on that pathway. So even when we're in a state of spiritual weakness, we can still have a relationship with God. That's what it's all about. Is being able to allow him to assure us that he is always on our side. Everything that he does for us is beneficial, not just to us, but to all of those around us. So that distinguishes us now from those who just falsely represent him to those who actually are obedient to the truth of his word. So in 2 Corinthians, let me read you this real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And this is really good because when Paul was writing this second letter, there were still some people in the church that were kind of like our Sunday school lesson this morning. But in 5 and 6, he says, "For we preach not what? We preach not ourselves." Okay? A lot of churches today preach what? Themselves. Or the world around them. But we preach not ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves servants to him. So this is where we need to be in our life in Christ. We don't come before God. We don't come with God. We come as servants of God. All right? So, "For God, who commands the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts so that we might give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we make Christ, when we took on the responsibility when we accepted by faith believing, we took on the responsibility to make Christ the absolute center of our life. He is our everything. Nothing comes before Him. Everything that we do because of Him. And everything that we're going to do, we ask Him because we are representing Him. We are acknowledging Him. We are focusing entirely upon Him. So can we say this, or are we just saying it? So this has to be of a sincerity. So that means that our ultimate act of our faith is to ask God to show us wherein His glory lies, and that's the direction that we want to go in. Well, I'll glorify Him a little bit today. I'll glorify Him a little bit tomorrow. No, it should be the fullness of His glory every day in our life. And He wants us to experience that. But in order to experience that, then there has to be an understanding of His divine characteristics in our life. So let's just jump back into Psalms just for a minute. In the 20th Psalm, verses 5 through 7. Let's jump back there real quick. The 20th Psalm, verses 5 through 7. Here's what he says. We will rejoice in our salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord will fulfill all of our petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth His anointed, and He will hear from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. And listen to what he says here. This distinguishes the difference between worldliness and godliness. He said, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but I will remember the name of the Lord my God. Okay? A lot of people today trust in the world. That's where they're looking for their strength. And David said this. He said, yep. And when he said chariots and horses, he was using this as a worldly example because the more chariots and horses you had back in, the greater you were. The more strength you had, the more power you had, the more that you were able to conquer. And David said that's what some people put their trust in. But we know that as we go through life, that the greatest understanding that we can have comes through God's mercy and through God's grace. And we have to put our trust in that in our life. So let's just jump with me back into Exodus real quick here. Into Exodus, let's go back to the 33rd chapter. And let's see what took place here. In chapter 33, starting with verse 20. And it said, and he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me that thou shalt stand upon a rock. Who's he talking about here? It's Christ, that's right. There is a place, where is Christ at this very moment? At the right hand of the Father. Okay? He lives within us through the indwelling Holy Spirit. But this place by me that thou shalt stand upon a rock, he's talking about Christ. So God, he provides us this secure place of refuge. And all the time he's providing this, he's assuring us that it's there. And he's assuring us that is where we are at through the indwelling Holy Spirit. And he said, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, all right? He said that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. So what's he talking about here? Moses, he was experiencing this firsthand, but in our life, enduring this grace dispensation period that we live in, this cleft of the rock and this hand of God that covers us refers to His mercy and His grace and His love. And it says every time that I'm bringing you into the fullness of my glory, He said, I'm putting you here. This is where I'm protecting you. This is where I'm keeping you safe. This is where I want you to be. And He said that while I am passing by, that this is where you're the safest, because this is where I put you. This is where I put you to keep you safe and to protect you. So this is God's strength in our life. Through His mercy, through His grace, this rock is the foundation of our faith. You remember Christ told Peter, upon this rock I'll what? Build my church. He was talking about Himself. So He said, and this comes through the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So this is a place where, especially when we're facing things in life like Moses was, this is a place where God puts us so that we can experience His closeness while we're facing these challenges in our life, so that we'll feel this security, so that we'll be able to always stand in readiness to be attentive to the Lord, the things that He has for us, that this is the time and place that He has chosen us, that we might be able to feel His glory all the while feeling the assurance of His protection in our life. So we know, so this is one thing that God knew that Moses couldn't take in his mortality. We know that in our mortality as well, we can experience the fullness of the glory of God completely, because we're just not made that way. So God provides us with this limited experience. But you know, this limited experience that He provides us with is still more than sometimes we can bear. So He has to put us in this place because it's more than we can bear. So, and He knows that this is sufficient. God gives us at the time in our life that we need it. He gives us what is sufficient for us to continue on our journey with Him. And sometimes that's putting us in this place and protecting us through the things that are going on in our life. So God knows our limitations. You know, sometimes we don't know our limitations, and that's what gets us in trouble a lot of times. But God knows our limitations. He knows those things that we are capable of doing, those things that we are not capable of doing. And He knows the times that He has to put us in this place of protection so that we might be able to look to Him and request that He would reveal Himself to us. If when we got in situations and circumstances in our life, if we would just stop and do like Moses did and just say, Lord, please for me to move on in my life, show me your glory. He'll put you in this place and show you the fullness of the glory that He knows that we can comprehend. And if we have to do this every day in our life, this is what we should be doing, so that we can know that we will get through every day in our life. And God will do this for us. So He wants to give us the experience. We have to desire to have the experience. And when we do this, then we'll begin to experience this fullness of God's glory in our life. The only thing that He asks of us is that we would always have a willing desire for it. We don't always have a willing desire to experience the fullness of the glory of God because we're too busy trying to experience the fullness of the world around us. And we think that's just so important in our life today. It's so important that I do this, that I do that, that I'm with my kids, I'm with my grandkids, I'm with my husband, I'm with my wife. It would be better to experience the fullness of God's glory, knowing you'll be with them eternally, not just while you're spending a short temporary time with them here on this earth. And the only way to do that is to always put Him first in our life and not all the rest of this stuff around us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You once again for this beautiful day that You've given us. Thank You once again, Lord, for Your wisdom and Your knowledge. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that each day, Lord, that we would request to experience the fullness of Your glory, Heavenly Father, even if it means putting aside those things that we think are important in our life, so that we might live for You, Lord, so that You might be the focus of our life here upon this earth, Heavenly Father, so that we might show others what Your saving grace, Lord, is truly all about, Heavenly Father. And we just pray that daily, Lord, we would ask for Your protection, for Your leadership, Your guidance, that we would ask for You to show us the direction, the way that You would have us to go. For Lord, we know that You're the only one that we need in our life to lead us and guide us through Your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, to keep us, Lord, secure in our salvation, so that when we stand before You, Heavenly Father, we might be standing in a right relationship with You. So we pray this day, Lord, that as we continue on through the days of our lives, that we continue to look to Thee, Lord, that we continue to put You first in our life, Heavenly Father, that we, Lord, continue to ask, Lord, for forgiveness of those things in our life that are pleasing unto Thee, and that You would help us, Lord, to get rid of those things, Lord, so that our relationship with You might grow stronger each and every day. Once again this day, Lord, we're so thankful for the time and the opportunity to come together and to fellowship with You and with one another. And we pray, Lord, that everything that we say and we do would be pleasing to Thy name. All these things we ask in Thy most precious and holy name. And amen. Okay, Bible study Thursday evening, remember? And we're, what's the name of it?
Repentance, turning to God.
So, I think last week it was a really good Bible study. So looking forward to this week's. So we invite everybody out. We need the Bible study. Is there anything else going on?
Well, that was good this morning. I never thought about that in Exodus before.
Oh, yeah.